Okay, we're going to warm up with a few scriptures here. Okay, so as we're warming up, you can have your Bibles open to Philippians, but you also have your notepad ready, your highlighter, and your pen. Okay, and we'll read a few selected verses here. All right, here's something from Chief Elder Peter. Okay, Chief Elder and Apostle Peter says some things here out of 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, if you want to make a note on that. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And when we share by the anointing, we speak in God's stead. Okay, even as the Apostle Paul said, when he says, "And we speak in God's stead, be you reconciled to God." Okay, and of course, the Apostle Paul, speaking by the anointing, okay, was bringing the saints, okay, within the kingdom under the government of God. And as for the refuge, okay, and the Chief Elder Peter, okay, taught that same tradition, okay, the tradition of the covenant. We have covenant tradition. And covenant tradition teaches us, okay, the manner of holiness, okay, through the priesthood. In fact, we'll be talking more about that today, as you see the illustration there in Facebook. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Again, glorified has to do with that as the expansion of the substance of the Lord from its present condition. The same thing like a seed growing into a tree. The seed glorifies the tree. And so the seed proceeds from one form. It goes beyond its boundaries and limitations into another form. New boundaries and the limits is assigned to the seed, which has to do with the height of the tree, and also the length of time of the life of the tree. The glorification, glorified through Jesus Christ here, the seed which is planted within us has an eternal expectation, which has to do its presence will proceed beyond its present boundaries. When you talk about praise and dominion, we're talking about is concerning the value of its virtue, by which Jesus is Lord. The value of the virtue by which Jesus is Lord. You see the word dominion there. Praise and dominion. If you want Jesus to be Lord of your life, then you also have to bear the testimony of Christ in that virtue. Okay, so we're glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. See, that which is presently experienced to that which also will be yet experienced. In the baptism of light. Now, here's another one. This is out of 1 Peter 4:16. The one I just read was 1 Peter 4:11, if you want to make some notes on that for your sacrifices. Okay, we've got a few minutes left here. 1 Peter 4:16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in his behalf. There's the word glorify again. You got the word glorify in 11 and glorify in verse. Let him glorify God on this behalf. Okay, the glorification of the Lord has to do with that we're laboring with that anointing. Remember, God is governing our destiny through the tethering of this anointing. Okay, God is governing our destiny according to the tethering of this anointing. Okay, and by this, the soul is expanding. So he says, let's not be ashamed. Okay, because the word ashamed has to do with anything that's less than light. In fact, the name of Satan is shame. Okay, the word shame is attached to his kingdom because everything in his kingdom is less than light. He says here, let him not be ashamed, because we're not attached to the kingdom of darkness. The suffering of our growth is not attached to the kingdom of darkness. Okay, the suffering of our growth is attached to the priesthood, which has to do with the circumcision of the heart. Okay, the circumcision of the heart by that knife of truth. So he says, if any man suffers as a Christian, then not be ashamed, because the circumcision of the heart is birthing within us that light, and it's brighter day by day. The increase of his the virtue, it increases with the increase of God. The increase of his virtue within us increases with the increase of God. The tokens and gifts which he's provided for us by his propitiation is ever expanding in the heart. So we're glorifying God and not to be ashamed. Every procedure is an increase. It's not a decrease, but we suffer the loss of the aspiration for the gaining of the fruit. So let not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. This is a yoke which has been assigned to us presently in this dimension until we get our glorified bodies. Then this process ceases, Okay, in this manner, okay, of the of the hidden work to be fully manifested, okay, as the sons of God, the children of God. All right, let's read something out of the Testament of Zebulun. Hey, and this, well, the bell's about ready to ring here. Those just coming in, have your Bibles open to Philippians chapter 2. We're warming up here with a few selected verses. This one now is out of Testament of Zebulun. Now after these things shall there arise unto you the Lord himself, the light of righteousness, and you shall return unto your land. All right, you see the cycle here. The cycle of returning to Christ is manifested within the anointing, that which we honor our Father with. We worship him in spirit and truth. Okay, so by the anointing from this foundation, okay, we're a perfect reflection of the holy city. Okay, the holy city is built on the premises of the, okay, of the government of the kingdom, and the Father himself is the conscience of it. Okay, when you build upon the foundation, the apostles, okay, the knowledge of the kingdom, okay, through this stewardship, okay, then you also have the pure conscience. Okay, blessed are pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's what Jesus said. Okay, those which have a pure conscience behold the face of the Lord in the knowledge. Those of the defiled conscience will revert to the law of Moses in order to try to find equity, okay, or a scale within themselves to justify themselves, which God accursed. Okay, God accursed with the word confounded. The word confounded has to do with layers of false justifications, and only the grace of God can penetrate these layers of false justifications in order to free the soul for faith. So after these things shall there arise unto the Lord himself, the light of righteousness, and you shall return unto your land. That's the full cycle. And you shall see him in Jerusalem, okay, for his name's sake. And yet again, through the wickedness, okay, of your works, which has to do with that in the moral code, shall you provoke him to anger. So you can see that the cycles here, which God put within these particular events with Israel, okay, which is also a parallel to that which is of the church. Okay, the first seed of the church, being that in the first eighth week, the first seed of the church, okay, and how that was planted, how the church went through the time and the time period of darkness of the sixth week, okay, and the recovery of that, of restoration, okay, which is unfolding in the second eighth week. Okay, and he goes on here, and you shall be cast away by him until the time of consummation. And that's, of course, we're in the time of consummation now. Okay, concerning the Israel is in a time of consummation. Okay, which has to do with when God is going to set forth, okay, his hand of correction. All right, well, let's start here. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off. Okay, and we left off there, chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Okay, and we also be going over to the Gospel of John today. Okay, here we're going to start here. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ. So pick up your highlighter, highlight the word consolation and comfort. In the same verse here, consolation and comfort. Consolation and comfort has to do with those things which we have both seen and heard, okay, in the stewardship. Okay, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. If there be therefore any consolation of Christ. Okay, so we can see that we're not measuring our value, okay, according to that which is the perspective of the world. Our value is measured according to the perspective of Jesus Christ. Okay, and that's what he goes on here. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, okay, that is according to the purity of your conscience. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, consolation in Christ has to do with the purity of the conscience. The word comfort also has to do with the victory. The victory over schism by charity. You overcome the schism, division, variance. Okay, you overcome those the powers of darkness through your charity. So you've got comfort. Now the peace of God is ruling in your heart. Okay, the word ruling has to do with dominion. Okay, to him be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So when he says to him be praise and dominion, we're talking about is concerning the value, the virtue by which Jesus is your Lord. Dominion. Jesus is your Lord. Okay, Jesus is your Lord, okay, through your reciprocation of his kingdom, the tokens of his kingdom, government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, the gifts and the callings and the graces of God, which has to do with these gifts, okay, the gifts, the operations, and ministrations, as Paul brings out. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Okay, the profit there has to do with the increase. Okay, the increase is through his kingdom and government and his name. Okay, which are all one. Kingdom, government, and name. Okay, by faith in Jesus Christ, we're of his house. Okay, we're children of the white stone. Okay, we're not children of the ephod of Moses. Okay, we're children of the ephod of Jesus Christ. Okay, when it means we're children of his bosom. Okay, not that which is the law, but that which is of the anointing. We're children of the bosom, we're children of the white stone. Okay, the children of the white stone, okay, which of course the white stone has to do with that token of adoption, okay, which shows that we are in association as children of the inheritance. Children of the inheritance, kings and priests of Jesus Christ. Okay, if there be therefore any consolation of Christ, we highlight the word consolation has to do with that which is the purification of the conscience. Consolation, purification of the conscience, knowing this divine pattern. Okay, if any comfort of love, see the word comfort of love. I like the word comfort there. And the second thing he talks about, the victory over schism by charity. Of course, the Apostle Paul brings it out in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envies not. Okay, that's comfort of love. Charity envies not. Charity vaunts not itself. Comfort of love. Okay, charity vaunts not itself. It's not self-referencing. Okay, and he goes on also with the other virtues, the virtues of these powers. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Okay, so he talks about the value of the seed which is being planted within you and nurtured by this holy knowledge. And he goes on there, the word fellowship. I like the word fellowship there. So he begins here, if there be, if any. See how many times he says it four times here. He talks about the word consolation, comfort, fellowship, and bowels and mercies. Interesting. Okay, so these things, the Apostle Paul is identifying these powers with his stewardship. And he begins that with his epistle, Paul, Timotheus, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. Okay, those which are of the kingdom and following through in their priesthood. Okay, these are those whom he's addressing. He's addressing those under his stewardship. He's not addressing those that are outside of the kingdom, okay, which is the false religious system or the earthly church. Okay, the earthly church, okay, are those which follow the law. They use the law of Moses as their scale of discernment. As that scale of discernment, it works with the moral issues, okay, and social issues. Okay, the law of Moses works with the moral code, the moral issues and the social issues. Okay, and of course the false religious system, okay, resources that as a form of righteousness, okay, or a national righteousness. See, there was at a time when it was said by one of the presidents, okay, that this is the United States is a Christian nation. Okay, that has to do with the national righteousness based upon the law of Moses, which of course is a misrepresentation, okay, of everything the apostles taught. Okay, because the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay, is not that which is born in this world, nor honored in this world. Okay, but the world wants to take ownership of it for their own identity, okay, and then call that identity tethered to the throne of God. Okay, and it's not tethered to the throne of God. So we've got four things there. If there be therefore any consolation, we talked about consolation there. If there be any comfort, okay, we talked about that. Now you see the word fellowship. The word fellowship has to do with the anointing to bond together with. So the fellowship is in connection to the consolation and comfort. And this is, of course, the divine pattern which we are following today in the second eighth week. Okay, the fellowship is through this tethering, a consolation and comfort, which comes through the government, the truth, the spirit. Okay, you're following through on your priesthood. So if there be therefore any consolation of Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the spirit, which has to do with the bonding, the anointing, see the word spirit there, which is the anointing, the anointing that bonds us together. Okay, and by this bonding, we're growing. Okay, by this bonding, we're growing, we have this consolation. And we'll be talking more about that consolation here in a moment. Then we get to the Gospel of John. Then he says here, of course, if any bowels and mercies, which has to do with the increase, the bowels and mercies, the increase enlarging of the heart by his gifts. Okay, because we know his mercy is in his tools. Okay, and by this form of contact, we learn to trust him and we learn to fear him. Okay, knowing that the Lord himself is our divine source. Okay, if our divine source were to be severed from us, okay, our soul would shrivel like an apple that falls from a tree in the ground. Okay, as long as the apple is tethered to the tree, it retains its freshness and its succulent sources. Okay, but once it's severed from the tree, it then goes into a different cycle, okay, which is a cycle of death. Okay, so all those that fall from the tree, being untethered from Christ, will go through and experience the cycles of death. There won't be that consolation or comfort, nor fellowship, nor bowels of mercies. Okay, but it'd be the works of death. Okay, it'd be death unto death instead of grace unto grace, and life unto life. So if to be there for any consolation of Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, okay, again, I'll say that, the anointing to bond together, fellowship of the Spirit, we're building and bonding together. If any bowels and mercies, if you really want to increase those things which are enlarged to heart by his gifts, then he says, fulfill my joy. Fulfill my joy. It goes back to the stewardship. So the Apostle Paul is identifying himself as concerning that standard. Follow my example. Be you followers together of me, even as I am also of Christ. And this is what the Apostle Paul bears out within his epistle. Be you therefore followers of me. He says in Corinthians and Colossians, Philippians, he says, be you therefore followers of me. And so he says here, fulfill you my joy. The bonding must remain strong. Fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded. I like the word like-minded. Okay, that is, those things which you saw in me and now here to be in me. So the word joy again has to do with that which is an expression which is being completed. Okay, the joy of our Father is the expectation which he's put within this divine work for our completion. This divine work, which he's presently doing, this is the joy of the Lord. Okay, and it's going through its cycles. The cycles have to do with this, it's the perfection of it. Okay, it's going through cycles for perfection, just as much as a tree goes through the cycles of seasons. Okay, and we see this also in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, we can see that the trees are not to be harvested until a portion of time has passed that identifies it with that blessing. It identifies it with the blessing. And the same thing with us. Okay, a period by which the Lord allows the seed to take root. Okay, that's why he says, little children. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Okay, that's just the first stage of entrance, into the house of the Lord. Okay, the first stage of entrance has to do with that, a re-familiarization. Okay, you are familiar with the flesh and the things of darkness, the things of the world. Okay, now you're being re-familiarized, with a new kingdom, new house, new rules, new habits, new resources. Okay, so the Apostle Chief Elder John brings that out. Okay, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for your name's sake. Also in chapter 1, he says that you sin not. Okay, so don't go back and resource. Okay, those things in order to try to find any kind of value or equity. Okay, when an individual enters into covenant with God, they begin to lose, those resources whereas they were oriented to. Their first birth of the flesh oriented them to the language, the customs, the traditions, the cultures of the world. Okay, and all of us were born into that environment, the environment of these waters. We became oriented to them, that we became comfortable with them to a degree, of its predictability, the predictability, how the flesh responds. There's a predictability to it. Okay, and where there's predictability, there's confidence, which is false confidence. Okay, that's self-confidence, which is false confidence. Okay, and by and large, the sinner, becomes comfortable building a shield, of the aspiration. They're shielding their aspiration, by the aggression of their own principle, based upon the predictabilities, whether it be social, economical, or emotional, or intellectual. Okay, there's certain predictabilities there. Same thing when you go to school. Okay, the predictability there has to do with your school uniform, the assignments which are given, okay, the classes which were provided. Everything has a certain comfort feeling. The first day of school, a lot of times, is really the hardest time because you're reorienting yourself, okay, to like a new class, okay, a new procedure, they are different classes, different studies, different teachers. Well, yeah, that's a predictability of that kingdom. Okay, when you enter into the house of God, you're learning a new orientation, okay, that which is of His kingdom, okay, which has to do with the government of God, okay, and the tokens, okay, the gifts of His grace. Okay, you're learning a new language. Okay, it's the ABCs of His kingdom. Okay, everyone that enters into the house of the Lord begins with, say, the first grade. The language. Okay, the language and the customs and the culture of God's kingdom. So you gain a consolation in that, okay, as you grow. And that's why the chief elder John said, I write unto you, little children, that you sin not. You don't want to resource your logic in order to try to find your orientation within light. You can't resource darkness for your compass in the kingdom of light. Okay, and he goes on, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. That means, okay, the correction comes through the stewardship. Okay, the stewardship which has to do with the kingdom of God and its callings. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, okay, which are there in order to instruct, okay, those which enter into the house. They're past the threshold. They're inside the house now. They're not standing outside knocking. They're inside now. Okay, so you're reorienting yourself. Now, when the rapture happens, there's a reorientation which we go through. Okay, where God's plucking us out of this water and bringing us on the dock of His kingdom. Okay, we're very familiar with these waters like a fish is. And then when rapture happens, we're removed from this environment, the waters, and put in a completely different environment. But the anointing which will attend upon us, okay, will assist us within this change so that the change, okay, will not be, okay, oppressive upon our thinking. It won't be emotionally oppressive. It won't put you in a state of shock like you're jumping into a cold or icy water. Okay, you're jumping from a diving board into, okay, very, very cold water, which is very shocking to the body. That's not the way it's going to be in a rapture. In rapture, the anointing attends upon this, okay, refamiliarization, reorientation. Okay, as also the angels will instruct us concerning our behavior, okay, and the do's and the don'ts. Okay, the areas that are restricted yet to the areas that are unrestricted. Recreations and parks, okay, and the libraries, okay, and also conferences, okay, and the schools which you'd be assigned to, the particular classes you'd be assigned to, okay, for the purpose of reorientation. Which is interesting in the book of Enoch, it does bring out is concerning, okay, when children pass away, okay, where do they go? Will they go to heaven? Okay, and in heaven, Michael the archangel gathers them together. Okay, you say there might be five, or might be 5,000. Just depends upon what, you know, what's going on down this dimension. Michael the archangel brings all the children together into one place, okay, and he begins to instruct them concerning their behavior. Okay, that's what the Michael the archangel does there. Okay, and so being so instructed, okay, they're also assigned heavenly parents, okay, which will oversee their behavior. Okay, and also their entertainment, okay, and their instruction, okay, as they grow up. That's right, you actually grow and mature in that other environment. If an individual were to die as an infant or a baby, okay, or a young child, okay, that child, okay, will not retain that age throughout eternity. Okay, that child begins to grow. Their body begins to mature up there, as it would down here. But up there, okay, death is not attached to it. Down here, death is attached to it. Up there, death does not attach to it. When Melchizedek came into this dimension from the third heaven, he was fully matured. But when he was raptured and taken up, he was about the age of 3. Okay, but when he came back on the other side of the flood, okay, he was fully matured. Okay, I mean, he was fully educated, he was fully matured, he knew what his job was to do. But he stayed within his environment there until he was called for. And then after being called for, he began to evangelize and ended up there in Jerusalem. Okay, but we're not talking about Melchizedek at this time, even though it's a very interesting history there. Okay, we're talking about the word consolation there. Okay, and so he says, fulfill you my joy, verse 2 there. Fulfill you my joy. follow my example to see this outcome. That is to be like-minded. Now, the word like-minded does not mean to be a robot. Okay, like-minded has to do with concerning that perception. Okay, somebody talks about speaking these same things, okay, which he brings out, speaking the same things. He's not talking about that which is of, like monks do. You can hear the echoes of their chanting. Okay, it's not a chanting, okay, that we're doing, okay, but rather, what's interesting, the anointing provides fresh bread for you every day. Okay, that is what he's talking about being like-minded. All of us are speaking the same thing, which means from the same foundation. Okay, the like-mindedness is using the same resources. We're all drinking of that one well. We're all drinking of that one cup. We're all drinking that, or eating of that one bread. So he says, fulfill my joy to continue to dine on these things, okay, which I have prepared for you through my stewardship, me and Timotheus. Okay, and also Silvanus. He's also mentioned later on. Fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded. Okay, and he says, having the same love, okay, which has to do with these tokens. Okay, you're not trying to portray your own thought, okay, or your own philosophy. Okay, but only the tokens that which God has sanctified. Okay, this is what we're walking in harmony with. We're walking in harmony with the Spirit by the tokens of the Spirit. Okay, just like those of the first covenant, the sons of Aaron, the Kohathites, and the Levites had to perform certain tasks, okay, daily. You got the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice, the daily sacrifices, and then those which would bring the sacrifices for their vows. Okay, the circumcisions which they have to do. Okay, on the eighth day, their circumcisions. Who will be performing the circumcisions? Okay, also those which labor in bringing up the wood. Okay, those which labor with the water, and has to keep the bath full. Okay, for the purpose of the washing, the purpose of garment cleansiness and repair. They had to keep closets full of Levitical garments because they had to remove them full of blood and put on fresh ones every time. You see, these were the duties. Okay, these were the duties which were assigned to them, which, of course, was not in vain, because everything was according to the covenant. So they were like-minded. Okay, and we are like-minded, because we're putting on Christ every day. We're attending the altar every day. Okay, we're using the knowledge which we have received from the foundation of truth every day. The same wood, the same altar, the same garments. But through this consistencies, through these consistencies, we have strong consolation in Christ. Okay, we have strong consolation in him. We have our anchor in him now. See, so fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded in him. The same love, verse 2 here, being of one accord and of one mind. You're walking in harmony by the same promises with the stewardship as your example of faith. Okay, with the same mind, one accord, same mind, one accord, one mind. So that's a good thing. It's not like the chanting that the monks do, okay, in their cathedrals or in their seminary schools where they're doing there, okay, which some people look at as, okay, a induced trance. There was an individual which we're talking about over 20 years ago, okay, which was against tongues because they thought tongues was chanting. He says here, all you're doing is chanting. Okay, that's of the devil. That's what they thought. Tongues is of the devil because you're chanting. Okay, no, we're not chanting. We're all speaking in the language which the Spirit's provided for us by faith. Okay, it's not that which is drawn from the intellectual or the emotional, okay, but it's drawn from that which the Spirit provides. That's the language of God's kingdom. Okay, speaking the language of God's kingdom there. Okay, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Let's go to verse 3 here. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, which means to be autonomously done for schism. Autonomously done for schism. We're not resourcing the tokens of God for our own aspirations. Okay, like selecting a Bible verse out of Deuteronomy and using the book of Deuteronomy, the law, for promoting, see, the lust of the flesh. Okay, and people quote Deuteronomy saying the blessings of Abraham are ours. But Deuteronomy was not the blessings of Abraham. Okay, Deuteronomy has to do with the blessings under the law, under that covenant. Okay, but the apostles don't resource the law in regarding the blessings of the anointing. Okay, that which God assigns to us is free from the law. Even as Abraham. Abraham was under no law, but that which the Spirit revealed to him. So the blessings of Abraham, that which God gave to Abraham, rest upon all those of faith. Because all of us are children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, that's our connection. Okay, which shows that we're children of the anointing. We're not the children of the law. We're not the children of Moses. We're children of the anointing. Okay, and by the children of the anointing, okay, we have our resources of profit are way beyond that which is of the earthly kingdom. Because the resources of our profit extends into the baptism of light. That which is grown within you, okay, it will be fully unrestricted. Okay, fully unrestricted. You can, in this dimension, you can pray as much as you want. You can offer as many sacrifices as you want, okay, except for the appointed days of the assembly, okay, in order for everyone to be able to offer sacrifice. That's what Paul talks about. Let it be by two or at the most three, that the church may receive that edification. So we're not, there's no competition within that. Okay, there's a bonding within that. The competition lies within the kingdom of the earth, the kingdom of the flesh. So that's where he talks about vainglory, okay, which has to do with that which is passive and transient. Vain, passive, okay, and transient. It's here and it's gone. Okay, like a passing car or a passing train or a plane that flies overhead. It's there, then it's gone. So nothing be done through strife or vainglory. We're not resourcing the knowledge of this world to compete with. We don't compete against each other. We build each other up. It's by the building each other up that we're loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. Okay, that you're keeping within the perimeters of that promise. Okay, which the Lord brings out. On this hang all the law and the prophets. Well, what hangs all the law and the prophets? Okay, that which anointing has provided. And by the anointing, we love God with all our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. Okay, the anointing doesn't work schism. Okay, false knowledge and ignorance work schism, but not the anointing. And we go on here, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Okay, because charity yields to the knowledge. Okay, the knowledge is Christ's perspective, which has, again, charity yields to the knowledge, which is in Christ's perspective. That's the mind of Christ. But ye have the mind of Christ. You have his perspective. He's molding your perspective by the knowledge that you have received. So that by believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth, you'll be saved. Okay, your charity is being released to the brethren. And this pleases the Father. Because now you're loving God with all your heart. Okay, which is the heart of faith, with all your soul. Okay, the will to serve with all your mind, the study of doctrine, okay, and with all your strength, which is your proper sacrifices, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Okay, and by this, you bond and build. You love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, the loving a neighbor has to do with your those which are in your assembly. Your neighbor are those which are in your assembly. And Jesus gave this example, okay, as concerning when the question was asked, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus gave that example in that parable. Okay, the one that gives is your neighbor. The one that provides is your neighbor. So look not every man his own things. He goes on here. Look not every man his own things, which you go back up to verse 3 here. But in loneliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That's for the edification. The edification of the other. Okay, which we do here. Look not every man his own things. That means not to draw envy to compete with a signature. His own things is his own signature. His own things is the record of his own soul. Okay, so we don't measure value on a scale of one's own record or soul. Okay, we measure the value on a scale of Christ, on his holiness, and on his righteousness, on the tokens of his sanctification. That's how we measure things. So look not every man his own things. That is the scale of the flesh. But every man also in the things of other, the gifts which our Father gives for your charity. Okay, so look not every man his own things. You're not drawn from yourself, your own record. Okay, but that which you have received. But every man also in the things of others, which he goes back to chapter 1, verse 1. Okay, Paul, Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. All right, verse 5. Let this mind be in you. Hide the word mind there. Okay, see the word mind in verse 5. So draw a line to the word mind in verse 5 to word mind there in verse 3. But in lowliness of mind, let this mind be in you. Hey, allow God to mold your perspective by humbling to grace, okay, which Jesus taught us, sharing the knowledge by the living priesthood. Hey, this is what Jesus taught. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Hide the word Christ Jesus. Okay, hide the word mind first, then hide the word Christ Jesus, because we're talking about a new priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. Okay, a priesthood which was provided for us by a new and living way. A new, okay, which is not that of the old covenant, and living, which is not of the dead letter. Not that of the old covenant, not that which is the flesh, not with that which is the blood. Okay, not that which was strangled. Not those things, okay, which the law of Moses made provisions for. Okay, but our provisions are from above. Okay, those things which our Father sanctified for his joy. Okay, we talked about, okay, tokens of arousal. In every culture, there's tokens of arousal. Okay, whether it be the fashion world, okay, or whether or it be the automotive world, okay, or whether it be, okay, anything of this dimension, okay, has a money value placed upon it, okay, which we look upon in order to give value. Gives value. There's a reciprocation. Okay, when you see something, there's a certain reciprocation in order to obtain that. And we talked about that last week, concerning the tokens of arousal of God's kingdom is faith. If you want God, okay, in order to involve himself in you, then you also have to reciprocate in kind. You have to use the things which he's provided for you for this reciprocation. Okay, we love him because he first loved us. Okay, our Father made the first gesture there, if you will. Okay, in these tokens, he provided Jesus Christ. Okay, and through the provisions which he provided for us, we reflect him perfectly by. Okay, by Jesus Christ. Okay, so let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So make sure you hide the word Christ Jesus. And we're going to jump from here to the Gospel of John. Okay, so you want to put your marker here in Philippians, because we come back. Okay, and we're going to jump over to the Gospel of John. So we'll be in the Gospel of John here for a few minutes. And right now we're going to chapter 5. Now in chapter 5, we're going to say, all that the Father shows me, I do. And this is what Jesus was speaking of concerning his priesthood. Okay, his priesthood. Now, what's interesting, that Satan's priesthood only introduced ignorance, which it does today. Okay, the priesthood of the fallen watchers did not assist Adam in faith in the covenant. It assisted Adam to make provision to separate himself from our Father. It made him self-sufficient. If you become self-sufficient, you will not have to believe in God. Okay, this was a council of the fallen watchers and Mount Ardos, okay, where they had their castle. They had their castle or their court. Okay, of course, Enoch would frequent there, okay, and he would debate with the watchers. Okay, there, and of course, our Father, okay, moved him to do that, okay, to the point where the watchers actually asked Enoch to pray for them. Okay, the watchers asked Enoch to pray for them. Okay, and this was to remove God's curse upon them. Okay, but of course the Lord intervened, and he says, it is not for man to pray for the angels, but it is for the angels to pray for man, which they do today. And Satanel's position, before his name was Satan, Satanel's position, okay, was to provide Adam with resources of the throne of God, and also to assist Adam in this dimension, because Adam was the second angel, the angel of this world. Okay, this world was assigned to Adamite to reign over, to rule over, to nurture, and to groom, to cultivate, okay, and have dominion over all creatures until the transgression. Okay, but Satan's counsel, okay, was not to the benefit of Adam at all. Satan's counsel, okay, was to dominate through ignorance. And he knows that through ignorance, Adamites would offend God, and Adamites would remain independent of God to shield their conscience from the presence of his light. They think ignorance is a good shield. It's not. Ignorance isn't the shield. Ignorance is your condemnation, because the light of God can penetrate that shield, and he does. And when God calls out to the conscience of all Adamites, okay, to seek him. Not all Adamites reciprocate and say, Lord, when you say, seek my face, I said, your face, O Lord, will I seek. We see that in the book of Psalms. Now, who said that? The one that reciprocated in faith. Your face, O Lord, I will seek. Because this was your command. Seek ye my face. Your face, O Lord, therefore I will seek. I will bow the knee. Okay. And behold you in this knowledge. Okay. But it's not so with the sinner. When God calls to the conscience of all his creatures. Okay. The sinners, those which are rooted within their own pride, the aspiration, the principle, and the imagination. Okay, wish to preserve those things which they labor in the flesh with. They labor for these things, okay, for the boast of man. They don't want the responsibility to reciprocate to God, because to them, the light of God is shame. No, darkness is shame. Okay, Satan turned that around. Satan said, the light of his grace is shame. Okay, that is, if you become a Christian, you're going to have to bear the shame. Okay, and that's true. Okay, and that's true in that perspective. Okay, marvel not, my brethren, the world hates you. The word hate, which means they want to put the light lower than the darkness. But that's not so as concerning the beginning. God said to the light, go above the throne. And he said to the darkness, go below the throne. Darkness is below the light, not above the light. But Satan reversed it. Satan says to his dominions, okay, let the light be lower than the darkness, and let the darkness dominate the light. Okay, but that's not true as concerning the kingdom of God. But in the dimensions of the waters, this has been allowed for the choice of will and for the reward of that choice. And that's why great is reward in heaven. Because in this dimension of contradiction, okay, you choose the light over the darkness, okay, which is the proper choice. So we see here, all that the Father shows me, I do. Okay, Jesus is identifying his priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. I am come into this world as a light in this world. That's what Jesus identified himself. No, Satan came to this dimension as the darkness of this world. He brought death. Okay, he brought death and disease. Okay, everything that he touches becomes infected. Okay, with ignorance. Everything he touches becomes infected with ignorance. Okay, and the sinners and the wicked and the ungodly, they try to rectify these things, okay, through their own self-will, their own intellect, or what they call science, okay, the study of this knowledge. They think if I can resource all the books of the ancients, then I'll be able to arrive at a conclusion, okay, of what truth should be. Okay, and of course, we can see that's, okay, that is a, okay, a, you see, the path of error, the broad way, the path of error. Because we know that only those of covenant, okay, are those which become saved. But let's read on here. Let's start with verse 30. Everybody should be there now. We're in John chapter 5, verse 30. Jesus, I can do nothing of my own self. Okay, that's the very opposite of what the false religious system claims. Okay, through the declarations. They make these decrees and declarations. Okay, of trying to force God into a position of reciprocation. Okay, that's what Satan tried to do. Satan tried to force God into a position of reciprocation, that which should be favorable to his aspiration. And you know what our Father called that? He says, I created you perfect until the day that I saw iniquity within you. God called it iniquity, okay, which is self-referencing. Sin. This is self-referencing. Okay, this is a title of your kingdom, Satan. Sin is a title of your kingdom. Okay, I can do nothing of myself, Jesus said. I'm not here to follow my passion independently of the Godhead. I can do nothing of my own self. So I can of my own self do nothing, but as I hear, I judge. See, that's the true priesthood. That's the same thing we do. We judge not after the flesh. Okay, the policy is set according to the anointing, that which the Spirit applies to the present time. This is what Jesus did when he forgave the woman which was taken in adultery. What did Jesus do? He did as he heard the Father speak. Okay, the anointing upon him released the woman from the offense, which the law of Moses refused. The law of Moses shackled the woman to the death penalty. Okay, and that's why they want to stone her to death. The shackles of the law were her death sentence, but the anointing of his grace was life, to where her accusers, okay, were removed. They left. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. Okay, what is being made known to me is what I say and do. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what we do. The anointing provides the fresh bread. Okay, the fresh bread. That's why the Lord gave the parable of that to the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. Okay, every day he provided that fresh bread for them, except for the sixth day where they were gathered twice as much, so they can rest the Sabbath. I can in my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because my policy bears the equity and light and perfection of its beauty. And it's the same thing the Lord is engraving within our own hearts. Okay, that which bears the equity of his light, perfection, and beauty. God is beautifying us with his grace, okay, which is the garment of his light, the garment of righteousness. Okay, is that beauty of grace. Okay, because I seek not my own will, he says here. Okay, I'm not independent of my Father's soul, but I am the very door of his conscience. So he says, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him, the will of the Father which sent me. In other words, I'm the wisdom and the oath of all creation, those things which I created to redeem all souls. And to do this, all souls, I came as a vessel of dust to relate to you this mystery, and also to connect to you. Okay, the body obeys the soul. Okay, if I bear witness of myself, Jesus said, my witness is not true. In other words, okay, if the power confirms the glory of man, which is the flesh, okay, then, of course, this isn't the original pattern. We see this in the earthly church, the false religious system. The false religious system is the power glorifies the flesh. That's why they want the outward manifestations, the miracles and the healings, which we're not speaking against. We're not speaking against miracles. We're not speaking against healing because God still performs those things in his mercy and compassion. He still does those things. Okay, but the seal of salvation is within the knowledge of the covenant. But fables are born out of the outward manifestations, okay, whereas fruit is born from the inward work called regeneration of the soul. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true, for the dust is not the eternal power for the conscience. Now we're going to jump over here to chapter 8. Okay, now we just read out of John chapter 5. We'll be in John here for a moment. Okay, we'll get your sacrifices ready. Now we're going to jump to John chapter 8. Okay, the true priesthood lies in the reciprocation of the Father's mercy. And we'll see this in John chapter 8. And we'll start with verse 26. I have many things to say and to judge of you. Okay, but he that sent me is true. I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. And that's what we do. Okay, we speak by the anointing. What Jesus is saying, I'm fulfilling all things that were communicated to me. I confirm to establish my record for you. But my Father now is in a physical form, okay, and he is the original scale. Okay, and this is what's awakening your soul. Okay, but the false priesthood keeps the soul ignorant of this power. Okay, it keeps it ignorant of the power. Okay, and we can see here. So Satanel's priesthood, okay, I'm bringing to your attention today the contrast between the Melchizedek priesthood, okay, which Jesus followed in his pattern, for our reciprocation at this present time, today, and as well as for eternity. In comparison to that of Satanel, whose name was Satanel, okay, before his name was shortened, okay, to Satan, okay, or a demon. Okay, so Satanel's priesthood to Adam, okay, was to share this knowledge to sustain Adam's stewardship, but Satan stole this privilege to himself, robbing God of Adam's faith. Okay, so Satan has no place in Jesus' priesthood. We can see this, okay, in chapter 14. So Jesus says here, I have many things to say and to judge of you. That's the position of stewardship. The judge, which means to set a scale for discernment. Discernment, okay, is given to the church through the stewardship. I have many things to say and to judge of you. Now you notice in the earthly church, the false religious system, that they're without a true judge. Okay, so everyone is judging after their own eyes. That means after their own denomination, traditions and doctrines of men. They're setting standards by the doctrines of devils, which of course the doctrines of devils is a locked door to the stewardship which God has sanctified. Okay, it's a locked door. It's keeping them prisoner. Okay, they think that they're protecting themselves, but their fortification, okay, or their tower is a tower of death, as we see in the days of Abimelech. Abimelech set the tower on fire, okay, and killed everyone that was in the tower. Okay, everyone in the city when the siren was giving a warning, that when the porter was giving warning, and Abimelech was surrounding the city, everyone ran to the tower for their protection. But Abimelech burnt the tower down with everybody in it. Okay, so that which they thought was a refuge was a death trap. And this is what Satan is doing today. He shut the doors to the true stewardship, not for the purpose of protection, but for the purpose of keeping the ignorant prisoners. Okay? And God's going to open the door to the prisoners. This is what he showed me back in the 80s. Okay, when in that vision, the dream vision which he gave me, when I first touched the jail cells or the doors, there was a shock. I couldn't touch them. But then the Lord said, now stay open to it. By the anointing, these will be opened. Okay? So that which they sought was their protection, they began to realize it was the shackles of their own captivity. Okay, Satan kept them under shadow of ignorance. So Jesus said, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, which means the original scale is within the stewardship. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him, which means Satan's keeping the souls ignorant of this mystery. But I speak these things, these mysteries, in order to give you freedom. Okay, now let's jump from here to John 12 for a moment. Now we're in John 12, we're going to be 48 through 50. The true priesthood, which from the very beginning was to assist Adamites. Okay, Satanel was to be the priesthood of Adam, Adam's stewardship. He was to assist Adam with knowledge of the throne, okay, and to assist him in other and any other thing which Adam, okay, would require. But Satan looked at this whole thing of priesthood as being restrictive to the powers which our Father bestowed upon him. Satan looked at these things as a form of belittling his present position of the authority of a third of the angels. What Satan was saying was, God, you gave me a third of the angels to assist me, and you trivialize this by giving me a priesthood to help Adam. Okay, one that's younger than I am. I'm the older brother. Okay, he's the younger brother. He should be in service to me. Why are you putting me in subjection to him? And for this rebellion, Satan was cast out of heaven. Not only was he verbally assaulting our Father, but he actually tried to physically gain a certain position, became aggressive, physically aggressive. Now let's go here, verse 48. Now everyone should be there now. Okay, in John 12, 48, he that rejects me, he's talking about the stewardship now. He that rejects me receives not my words, has one that judges him. There he goes again. Okay, the person that refuses the priesthood, the stewardship and the priesthood, with the anointing upon the stewardship and the functions of my priesthood, which he's saying, okay, has already been selected to darkness. Okay, they have already been selected to darkness. They're protesters. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. That means when also my apostles then would challenge, okay, your false justifications. Okay, so the words which I have spoken, the same shall judge them last day. This policy, this pattern, would be carried forth after I ascend into heaven. And I'll put this power within those whom I sanctified and called, as Peter. Okay, and upon the building of his stewardship, their sins will be either remitted or retained. Okay, if they reject the stewardship, their sins are retained. Okay, if they accept the stewardship, their sins are remitted. Okay, through the stewardship. Okay, and he says, for I have not spoken of myself. See that verse 49. I have not spoken of myself, that means which Satan promotes. Now Satan promotes independent free thought. Independent free thought. They think free thinking, which means I don't have to think within the perimeters of that which is given. I can think outside the box. The world always says that, think outside the box. Well, think of it as in God's kingdom, you have to think inside the box. Not outside the box, but inside the box. You have to think within the parameters of the covenant. The false religious system, they don't want the restriction. They want free thought. They say feel that allows them or justifies or gives them permission to believe as they wish. And you can hear this in the things that they're saying. Okay, they don't like truth because truth is restrictive. That's right. You have to think within the box that is on the foundation which he's provided. The holy city of New Jerusalem is built on a foundation. Okay, the holy city of New Jerusalem isn't just floating around like bubbles in the air. The holy city is on the foundation. It's rooted. Okay, on that foundation of stewardship. Now he that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. I have not spoken to myself, but the Father which sent me, which has to do with the priesthood. My priesthood reflects the throne of his kingdom. This is a living tether. Okay, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say, which is for your faith, and what I should speak. Okay, that means as inscribed in the bosom. This is the language of the anointing, he says. Okay, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. The policy which he set relieves the soul, okay, of the shackles of ignorance and provides substance in your charity. Okay, charity, faith and charity provides substance in the soul. This is the joy of the Father. Ignorance provides nothing. Ignorance only steals. The soul, okay, shrivels in the absence of light. Okay, I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said to me, which was in the bosom, so I speak. I speak that here. I speak that here to awaken the seed in your conscience and to remove the shadow of death by the door of my light. Okay, now let's jump over to chapter 14, okay, verses 10 through 12. All right, chapter 14, 10. All right, everybody should be there. Okay, believe you not that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? Okay, the words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. This wasn't born of my aspiration, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. He empowers this knowledge, giving witness to my words for your record. Believe me that I'm in the Father. He says, accept this mystery, that this dimension is only an orb of the Father as a house of many chambers and rooms. So believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. I'm his voice here to you to see and hear. So he says, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. That means that I fulfilled his words, see, in the mouth of all his prophets. For Enoch saw my miracles and heard the name given. It was given to me 4,000 years ago. Okay, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, as then, even so now. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, that means reflects, he that reflects and embraces this record, okay, would do as my priesthood. So verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works, that's his priesthood, that I do, okay, now for your priesthood, okay, and your record, shall he do also in the future, as in the day of Pentecost, okay, and as a baptism of light. And greater works, that which is my Father's bosom, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. I complete the cycle. Okay, as kings and priests. And we see this in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. Because I go to my Father. This is to prepare your mansion. He, the chamber of your throne, shall be filled with a fiery pillar as a testimony of my Father. Those of my house now. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, this is the token of ownership, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. There's the word glorified again. That's the same language Paul uses, which we read there in Philippians. This is to show the cycle of life connected to the covenant of faith. So Jesus is saying, I minister this knowledge to you by this priesthood. I came here to be your priest and to oversee this. Now we're going to verse 30. He says, hereafter I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world comes as nothing in me. So Jesus is saying, as I ascend to my throne, I will communicate differently, okay, and by my record, which Satan will try to counterfeit by the justification of the text. Okay, because my empowerment is not in the text, but only in my record. This is where my witness will be, which is hidden from this world. So here he says, the prince of this world comes as nothing in me. Satan's priesthood, okay, Satan's priesthood is that of the sinner. My priesthood is to the righteous. So when I go to my Father, I'm going to give you a new priesthood, which is vastly different than that which is of Moses, which Satan entered into. Okay, now let's go over here to Philippians. Let's read a couple more verses here, okay, and then we'll close. Okay, we're back to verse 5 here, Philippians chapter 1, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We talked about that, in Christ Jesus, which is a new and living priesthood. Okay, so he says Jesus Christ, in order to show us the connection of this inheritance, and Christ Jesus, in order to show us that this connection is made through the priesthood. That what we just read there in the Gospel of John, we can see is unfolding, okay, within a Christian life. The false religious system wants this reality, But they can't find it outside of Jesus' priesthood. Okay, they're trying to find it within within the combination of doctrines. Okay, they're all they're doing is cutting and pasting the verses together, making this collage of doctrine. A collage of doctrine. So they find something in the Bible, and they try to role play it, okay, or they try to make application of it, and call themselves those of Jesus Christ. Okay, that's what Satan did. Not Jesus, Satan did that. Satan selected the verses to represent himself. Jesus spoke by the mouth of the Father. That's the true tethering. Okay, by that tethering, okay, you're functioning within the stewardship he sanctified in the priesthood of his righteousness. Okay, you're bringing forth these fruits, okay, which seal your salvation. This is the preparation stage. Okay, the preparatory stage, the consecration stage. For the purpose of the selection is for your eternal redemption.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.